You're listening to The Head Trash Show with the founder of Head Trash, Alexia Leachman. Head Trash is the home to the new and unique Head Trash Clearance Method that removes unwanted negative thoughts, feelings, and emotions quickly and effectively so that you can achieve clarity, confidence, and contentment in your life. Tune in every week as Alexia shares insights and simple strategies to help you create some headspace to experience confidence and clarity in your life and business. To find out how to clear your head trash quickly and effectively using our unique method, pop over to www.headtrash.co.uk to get our free download and subscribe for our free head trash clearance updates. And now for the show.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Head Trash Show. This is me, your host, Alexia Leachman. Thank you so much for joining me today. Now, on today's show, I've got a real treat for you. I have discovered a brand spanking new technique. Well, not me personally, but I've come across a really great new technique for clearing stress, trauma, negative emotions, fears, phobias, all that stuff. And it is really, really easy. Like, so easy, you're not going to believe it. This technique is called the brain stare. Yes, you heard that right. The brain stare, as in staring with your eyes. And that's pretty much what is involved in this technique, staring. And that just sounds too damn simple, right? And it is. And it's so simple that it can almost be difficult to try and comprehend. Hang on a minute, how can this possibly work? What do you mean I've got to stare? How do I stare? How can I do it right? All these things, all these questions come to our mind. So what I've got for you today is I've got the founder of the technique, the guy that came up with it, on the show, and I'm going to talk to him all about it. Now, the guy that came up with this technique is also the guy that came up with reflective repatterning, the technique behind our five-step process to clearing your head trash, Chris Milbank. Now, he is absolutely, well, he's so knowledgeable about all the workings of the mind, having trained to very high levels in neuro-linguistic programming, NLP, TFT, thought field therapy, many, many other techniques that he is gifted at blending together to come up with really powerful ways for clearing the stuff in your head. And so I've got Chris on the show today to talk all about the brain stare technique. So I'm going to hand over right now so you can hear exactly what Chris has got to say all about brain staring. So welcome back to the Head Trash Show, Chris.
Hi, thank you very much for having me again. Really excited to be here.
Now, I got you back on the podcast because you've come up with an amazing new technique. As if reflective repatterning wasn't amazing enough, you've come up with another one, which you've aptly named the brain stare technique, which I really want you to talk about and to tell us how to do it, because it sounds so damn simple as a way of clearing head trash, but it sounds even too simple, really. So, so tell me a little bit about, first of all, how you came to discover this technique.
I was using some equipment called neurofeedback. And neurofeedback is a way of testing what is going on in the brain. If somebody's too stressed, they may have very high, fast brainwave patterns. If they're very depressed, they may have too slow brainwave patterns. And the neurofeedback is a way of not only testing what's going on, but then retraining the brain to be on a more even level that we can access deep sleep and healing and focus and be busy when we want to be, but remain relaxed as well. While using this technique, or this tool rather, a rather expensive tool, I was going back to my memories of working with eye movements and how eyes, when they're held in certain positions, access different parts of the brain. For instance, a lot of people, when they point their eyes right up to the top left, it may be an area for them, different for different people, but maybe an area for them where they hold some memories that could be visual memories, like images and pictures. And the top right might be a part of the brain where they are constructing images, like maybe creating a cartoon or maybe wanting to draw some art. And this is where we access things. Our eyes move. Next time you're talking with anybody and they're describing something in a conversation, look at them and you'll see their eyes move in all sorts of different positions. There's a tool or a technique called EMDR, eye movement desensitization reprocessing, that guides the eyes into all sorts of different positions while somebody's focusing on a trauma or a traumatic event. People in the armed forces who have had post-traumatic problems and areas, post-traumatic stress, that's the word, have used this technique very, very well to get over their old flashbacks and nightmares and bad dreams. So I was wearing this neurofeedback equipment, which is like glasses and they flash and it's got electromagnetic signals that retrain the brain. And I was thinking of an issue that I had, and I was moving my eyes in those EMDR positions, and it really had little or no effect to the actual issue. But as I carried on, I found that if I just held certain eye positions, like top left for 5 minutes and top middle for 5 minutes, top right for 5 minutes, mid right, holding my eye there 5 minutes, and so forth, going like round a clock, and some positions in the middle, then I was getting some rather exciting responses, that issues and feelings were changing, old memories were surfacing, and my body was reacting. It was contorting and muscles twitching. And the reason it does that is that when we have stress or when we have trauma, physical trauma or emotional trauma, then our bodies actually contract somewhat. There's a connective tissue called fascia that runs underneath the skin, and it hardens and it kind of shrinks down. And this is a way of protecting us. But unfortunately, it then holds us in these bad positions, and we can get muscle ache and bad backs and so forth because the fascia's tight. Well, I found that my fascia was releasing and parts of my body was twitching and so forth, and I was rather excited by the idea. Then it occurred to me that maybe I am doing this in a rather long-winded way. Maybe I can just think of a problem, a past event or a fear or a phobia, or a trauma or something that was stressing me, and actually move my eyes very, very, very slowly around until I find the point where I'm most easily able to focus on the problem I'm working with. It might be the point that gives me the most tension around the problem, or I feel the most emotion, like we feel emotions in our chest or our tummy or in our head sometimes, whether it's anger or fear or butterflies in our tummy and so forth. And I was easily able to find positions that located where I was holding the issue or the problem in the brain by finding the eye place. I then just held my eyes there, first of all, for 5 minutes at a time, and old memories would start flashing through, things I'd forgotten about, things that I perhaps didn't know consciously, was coming up deep from my unconscious. And I was getting a clearer and clearer mind the more I did this. And, of course, I stopped using the neurofeedback tools and altogether for this, and just used this, what I started to call brain stare. And I found that 20 minutes would often clear a number of different issues. And sometimes for really big issues, I could be in there for an hour. Wow. So some really big issues would be an hour. And what it's actually doing is, as we hold the eyes there, it is pinpointing in the brain exactly where that stress or that trauma, fear, phobia, anxiety, depression is held, and the brain literally offloads it, like in bucket loads, absolutely bucket loads.
Wow.
And it's like a JCB going inside your head and just chucking it all out, all the crap stuff. And of course, it doesn't disable your memory. You can still remember what happened, but it doesn't bother you. You get more flexibility in your thinking rather than being stuck with an old, rigid belief pattern around the problem. Choices come in. It diffuses the intensity around the issue. Now, interestingly enough, there's another secret to the brain stare. It's that I then went on further and further to research holding eye positions into certain places, and found that actually a guy called David Grand had discovered this years before I had discovered it, and he called it brain spotting. And I was, of course, very, very excited by this, and had a look at his work and spoke to several people using it, and did find differences. We're actually applying it in different ways. I was able to learn some stuff of their approach. I wrote to them, but they weren't interested in hearing my side. So anyway, what I decided to do is that I would immediately write a blog, and within a few months, over 50,000 people had written the blog. I had no real way of promoting it. I put it on Twitter a few times, called Brain Stare Chris Milbank. Anybody can, you know, look that up. And as I further developed into this field, I created another blog called Sexual Brain Stare, where people could release built-up sexual tension that they have. You know, there's many people that are very repressed sexually. There are many people with issues around relationships and so forth. Many people that have frigidity and sexual dysfunction. Many people in gay and transgender groups that may be slightly fearful and so forth, and felt repressed themselves. But we can actually focus then on the sexual acts or the loving acts and the relationship acts and find the actual spot. And we get huge releases, often all the way up the spine. The spine is a channel for what we call the old ancient sexual and powerhouse energies, the Kundalini energies. The spine is also the main highway of the nervous system right into the brain. Many in the natural healing world will call the spine the extension of the brain. The coccyx area in emotional bodywork is very known to be around sort of if there's tension in the coccyx being the very base or tailbone of the spine, there's a lot of there's tension around there. Often it can lead to early childhood abuse of any kind that can be held there. And again, you know, a lot of this can release. Those that know about acupuncture and the electrical lines that run through the body, that run the energy called meridians, will also know that the spine is the main powerhouse acupuncture meridian line that charges up all the others. So we can get a lot released up through the spine using this method.
So let me just get back to the how you do this technique, because it just sounds so simple that I just want to just go over that bit, because it does sound too easy, and yet it sounds like it really can release a ton of stress from your system. So essentially, if I've got this right, what you're doing is you're almost using your eyes and scanning your brain for the sensitive point, or the point that is connected or linked to the issue that you're wanting to work on. Is that correct?
Absolutely perfect. What a great description. Thank you, Alexia.
So you literally just sit there, you get a quiet moment, and you just start almost scanning your eyes all around, sort of as far as they can go around your eyeballs, as it were, until you reach the point where you might feel more connected to that issue. And then you just hold that stare. And that's what you're doing. You just literally stare.
Yes, absolutely. Nothing else, nothing more. Your intention is to work on the issue that you've chosen, where, as you say, that you feel most connected. And then what happens is maybe a couple of minutes will go by for your mind to relax into the issue. You'll be connected to something because that's why you've chosen that spot, whether that's a physical tension or stress or an emotion that's arising or a really intense thought or focus. And that will begin to change. If it's a feeling, it tends to move about a bit, it tends to lessen. Maybe our mind goes to other things that may seem very related or completely unrelated. It's just because stress is held in that spot for many different things. And the brain needs to let go of what it needs to let go, and it knows what it needs to let go when we hold to stare. And we just stare, literally stare. We don't do anything. We don't have to do deep breathing even, although that can be helpful. We can do this on a bus, on a train, on a plane, in the dentist's waiting room, at the doctor's, when you're waiting forever and ever. You can just stare. And, you know, if you're in a public place and you're thinking that, you know, you might be staring at someone, as long as you hold the eye position, if you move your entire head and body around a bit, you could be staring at, you know, just a space on the wall. It's really good to know where you're staring at. Find a dot or a piece of dirt or dust on the wall or the ceiling if you're lying down, just so you can actually keep your eyes exactly in that place.
And you are allowed to blink, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. In fact, you know, some of the signs and symptoms that can happen, one of them can be that the brain goes into a major reset, and if this happens, you do not be alarmed. It might feel a little bit panicky. The breathing can get quite rapid, and the eyes can uncontrollably blink for a while. The teeth can even chatter, which is tension being released from the jaw or the temporomandibular joints, for those that know their anatomy and physiology. And that joint there is a carrier for about 80% of the nervous system signals that go through the body. So a lot of stress and emotion and even anger and rage can hold there. So if your teeth start chattering, it's a good thing. Your body starts jumping about. It's the connective tissue that was contracted that's starting to relax, and therefore allowing the muscles, the organs, the glands, and the skeleton that it attaches to relax and find its own, you know, natural preferred position.
So you might not want to do this in public then, if you're going to get these kind of responses, because you might look a little bit odd with all these.
Well, you know, if they start
reactions
coming up, then you can just immediately stop the stare. As soon as you look in a different direction, then it automatically stops. But then you can know that you can come up to it. But yeah, other signs and symptoms can just be relaxation, tears from the eyes, sighs, yawning, deep, rapid breathing, then going down to slow breathing. Sometimes we just get new perceptions about things, new ideas about things. Where we held a once rigid view, we may well be more flexible in it. Other people get flashbacks. Some people have reported memories that maybe not from this lifetime, that might have been passed down from generations before, that have been held in the cells. There's a lot of research around that. Other people who might not believe in that area will just say, you know, they're getting lots of images and sounds and voices and things from, you know, people they don't really recognize, but as they were released, it felt really, really good. Now, one of the complications that I have had is that the technique is just too simple.
Yeah, it sounds too simple.
And people overcomplicate it. And right, I've had people write to me anything up to 14 times, and I've explained 14 times. And finally, when they actually just found a position and just stared, they came back and they would say how marvelous it was, how much better they feel. And the other thing is there is another way of applying this as well.
Okay.
That for those that are going to torture themselves inside their mind and overcomplicate it, and people do, and that's part of the stress that they already hold. Some people will torture themselves and say, you know, I'm not really sure if I'm finding the exact spot. You know, it could have been another spot. Well, you know, sometimes an issue might be held in two or three different areas of the brain. So, you know, just clear one at a time. But if you're really going to go into doubting Thomas mode, then don't pick on any issue as such, but just do a random brain stare. Just find a position for the eyes and hold it. And if no waves of memories, thoughts, feelings and stresses start coming up within 5 or 10 minutes and nothing's happening at all, you can find another one, just any random stare. And you will release stuff that's in there, not specific to a, if you had a particular problem you wanted to clear, you'd have to find the exact spot. But if you just want to clear generalized stress that's held in the brain, then you can actually just hold your eyes in any one position. And if there is any stress in that eye position, for the that's pinpoint in the brain position, then it will come out. When the stress comes out, it comes out in waves, and then all of a sudden it calms down. When you get to the point that it's calmed down, I generally recommend staying in the eye position for another 5 minutes, just in case the next wave comes through.
Right.
It might be by this time that you've totally forgotten about what you were first working on. If that's the case, while it's quiet, while you're waiting for a wave, refocus back on the issue, and then you might get the next wave. If after 5 minutes or so another wave of stress isn't being offloaded, then have a think about the issue. See if it still bothers you. If it doesn't, you may well be in the clear. If it does, then maybe, you know, position your eyes again and find another position where the stress around that issue is also held. Mm. Any trauma can be held in more than one place. The body has an incredible memory backup system. Why do we need to remember traumas? Well, if they've been traumatic, the memory system is there to remind us and to make us feel that bad to never go revisit these things again.
Mm.
And of course, if we bang our head and we lose the memory there, then we may well have the memory in other parts of the head. We may also have the memory in other parts of the body. People will have heard and read maybe stories in the newspapers how someone's had a transplant of the heart or kidneys, and they've woken up with some of the memories and the knowledge of the donor, even though they had no prior knowledge of this stuff before, because memory is held all over the body. The brain is the biological computer for the whole body, and so I've also written a get well brain stare. When we focus on any health issue, many of people have had chronic illness and acute symptoms, and these will be very, very well stored in the brain. When we find the eye position that allows us to get most connected and in tune to that health issue, this is an area where the brain can really offload huge amounts of stress. I think any doctor will say behind just about every type of disease, every type of illness, there is an emotional stress held. And stress is the quickest way to get ill. It's the quickest way to go acidic in the body. It's the quickest way to cut down the efficiency of our immune system. If the brain is stressed, then it's going to let go of some of its responsibility. It's not going to be able to do all of the balancing of the body. It's not going to be able to be fully in control of the immune system and checking it out and the neurochemicals that it wants to make, the hormones and digestive system. Remember, the brain is connected, it controls everything. So as we offload the stress from the brain, then the brain can actually get stronger, it can feel better, it will feel more relaxed, and we find that our health begins to improve because of it.
Wow. So basically you can use this for anything that might be like an emotional fear or a phobia or an emotional issue, but also you're saying that we can start thinking about this with a physical symptom or a condition that we might be feeling within our body as well.
Yes, absolutely.
Wow.
You know, there is more than one system in the body. In your previous podcast, we've talked to reflectory patterning, and you've also interviewed great people that use all sorts of different systems in the body. The brain is just one of them, and emotions can be held in the acupuncture lines, and reflectory patterning would be great there. And I'm not saying that we should use brain stare over physical therapies like Rolfing or Bowen therapy, which is very good at releasing, and cranial sacral, very good at releasing trapped emotions that are physically held in the body. But the brain is overlooked, and there are very few brain stress releasing therapies. Mm. And brain stare, in my opinion, kind of tops many of them. There's some amazing other techniques, and a new one called Havening, which works to calm the brain so it doesn't overreact to old stressed issues, is another very good one. But my preference is actually the brain stare, because it releases so much and in so much depth. And the health issues, when sort of kind of researching this and putting this out to students of mine and clients of mine, I had them focus on health issues, and most often the most intense releases actually came around health issues because of emotions and traumas that may have been triggers or part causes to their health issues were starting to get released.
Wow. Well, this sounds an incredible technique, and I'm still yet to try it. I still want to, and I guess when you've got a newborn, finding the time to just stare at one point on the board is not. I'd love to find the time to do that. I'm just wondering whether, and also just joking aside, but I'm sure some people might think, well, surely if I sort of stare towards the TV and move my head, would that count? And so if you're wanting to do something while you're staring, would that kind of negate the effect of the brain stare technique? Let's say if you sort of did move yourself on the sofa so that the TV was at the point now, was the fact that your brain is engaging in something else kind of stop the brain stare technique from working?
I believe it does. I haven't had any good effect in trying that. And the way I think of it is that when we're doing the brain stare, where there's the input that's already stressed inside the brain is mm-hmm. going out.
Yeah.
And we want that out channel clear.
Yeah.
While we're focusing on TV and other things that are going on, that's input going in.
Yeah.
And that's not conducive to a good flow of stuff going out.
Yeah.
That's probably the best sort of metaphorically way I can describe
that. Complete sense. So basically, this is a really good practice to maybe put alongside something like meditation, something like breathing. You could use breathing to help you stay focused. And, you know, breathing is such a great technique to do anyway for many other reasons as well. So you can quit smoking by doing your breathing while doing your brain staring, dealing with all the emotion tied to smoking, for example. Would that would be a great combo, would it?
Yes, absolutely. You know, breathing can be very good. Sometimes we can get a little bit panicky during this process, and the panicky bit rises up. It's like intensity rises up as the brain wants to release it. So you're kind of partly reliving it for a while, and then your breathing calms down. But if you start to slow your breathing and aim to make your out-breath about twice as long as your in-breath,
yeah,
that is a very, very good way of calming the breathing.
Okay.
Because the breathing system is something else that needs to be retrained. Mm. When we get into panic, most people go and they breathe into that high mid-chest area and stop, and that sends signals to the brain, which sends signals to the adrenals to pump steroids, adrenaline and cortisol, and it kind of gets, you know, way to stress. So if we can retrain our breathing somewhat, that is good. But we've had some amazing successes with this, not only people using it on themselves. When lying down, it's very good. They can lie down, and somebody said they had insomnia problems. I said, hey, try this. And they got back to me and they said, I can't use it. I said, why ever not? They said, they go to sleep. That's what their problem solved. So that's a good one. We had a mother with a very stressed newborn baby, and she did the brain stare while holding the baby, and each time the baby would calm down and relax.
Mm.
But I've also taught students of mine that we can actually use this to help people remotely. When we tune into how we feel about maybe a friend or family member or someone's emotional pain or distress that they're going through, and we find the eye position where we can most focus and feel the empathy, then we can hold that position until we become clearer in ourselves. And this has had very good effects on those people that have been in distress. So we can actually use this on ourselves to remotely heal others as well.
Wow, amazing. Well, that is just incredible. I'm just so pleased that you've been able to share that with me today, Chris. And I'm sure the people listening are just going to, there's going to be lots of people sitting on buses staring now, looking a bit, looking like zombies.
I hope so. And, you know, I don't have a website up about it, but I do have Brainstare, Chris Milbank, Facebook.
Right.
And people can go on and like that, and they can find the blogs from there. They can message me from there if there's any questions or queries on how to use this, or, you know, are they doing it right, which is a common one. Mm. You can't really do it wrong. You just got to stare is going to be my main answer. Yeah. But I do have quite a few people saying, I'm not sure if I'm doing it right, but I got this happen, I have this release, and I feel better about that. And I said, well, then you're doing it right. Things are happening. But please, you know, I love to have the feedback. I've had a lot of people write to me privately with feedback. And so, you know, they want to keep that private. But if there's anything that you've experienced that you want to share, we can then actually put that on the Facebook page as well. Mm. To encourage others.
Well, I'm going to give it a shot as soon as I can, and I'll be sharing my own thoughts and what happens when I give it a go as well. So, yeah, I'll be sharing that on the podcast at some point whenever I get around to doing a bit of brainstorming. Thank you so much,
there
Chris.
There is a word of warning.
Oh, yeah.
A couple of words of warning. If you've got mental illness or under a psychiatrist and so forth, it may not be the best technique for you. So go and have a word with your doctor or psychiatrist first. If you're on medications for the mind, again, like antidepressants and so forth, just have a word with the doctor before using such a technique first, or find a therapist that will do it. Mm. The sexual brain stare, only do that privately on your own, because it can be very intense. I've had ladies come back that they've reached orgasm through it. A man said on holiday in the south of France said, I've just got your brain stare blog, I'm going to read the sexual brain stare blog, I'm going to read it on the beach. I said, don't, you might get locked up.
Well, I'm going to get links to all these blog posts and put them on the podcast episode page on the Head Trash site as well. So if anyone listening wants to read those, then I'll have links to all that from the post on the headtrash.co.uk website. So thank you once again, Chris, for coming on and sharing how this amazing new technique. It's been brilliant to hear your story and how you came up with it. That's wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Alexia. Thank you, The Head Trash Show.
Thanks for tuning in. You've just been listening to Alexia Leachman here on The Head Trash Show. If you enjoyed the show, she'd really appreciate you leaving a review on iTunes. And don't forget to pop over to www.headtrash.co.uk to get your copy of the free 5 Steps to Clearing Head Trash guide. Stay tuned for upcoming episodes for more strategies, tips, and how-tos for clearing your head trash and reclaiming your headspace. Until next time.